Are you tired of spending hours sharing and sending offers to likers? Introducing Posher VA, the web program that will save you time and increase your sales. With Posher VA, you can automatically share your closet, send offers to likers, and schedule your share times, all with just a few clicks. Using code ELDUCHO, you can try Posher VA for 2 weeks for free, no credit card required. Posher VA is not just another program, it is your program. Say goodbye to manual sharing and hello to even more time in your business. Try Posher VA today using code ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO. Welcome to the Flip the Script podcast. I'm your host, Denali, and I'm a full-time reseller on eBay and Poshmark. My store and closet name is ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO, and you can find me on Instagram and YouTube as ELDUCHO Thrift. I'm very excited about this week's episode. I had an opportunity to interview my friend Blake again. You can find Blake on Instagram and YouTube under the username PoshBossBlake, and I will have all of that information in the show notes for you. 2020 has been a challenging year for so many of us, and I wanted to invite my friend Blake back on the podcast, essentially 1 year later, to talk about his experience kind of navigating his way through this past year professionally with his full-time job that he had, as well as reselling being supplemental income for him. It has been a big shift for him this year. Hopefully you've listened to the first episode that he was in. You can find that in the episodes. I recommend listening to that and then following up with this episode to see where this year has taken him. Let's get into the episode. Hi, Blake. Thanks for being on the podcast with me again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you again here speaking with me. One, because you're my dear friend and I love chatting with you. But also, it's been almost a year since I last had you on the podcast, and 2020 has been a very difficult year for so many people for a multitude of different reasons. And I guess I wanted to have you on here to kind of be my first follow-up episode and check in with you and see how you are doing. How are you?
Yeah, well, it's been a crazy year. I'm doing great. I'm in a good
headspace.
I'm around family, which is nice, which we'll get into in a little bit. And, you know, present day, I'm great, which I haven't been able to say for quite a while this year. So yeah. It's a nice change to be able to say, like, I'm feeling good and mean
yeah.
it, you know?
Yeah. And you got all your hugs in that you needed, right?
So many hugs.
So many hugs. Good. Well, I'm sending you a virtual hug right now. Well, you know, it's been almost a year, right? We recorded our episode pretty much the end of January, beginning of February of this year. And yeah, I guess my first question for you, Blake, which is a pretty broad question, but what has happened since our last recording?
I feel like what hasn't happened is a good question too. So I feel like on a broader kind of like first level answer, I'll say that work, my full-time job, because for people who might not know, I worked a full-time job and did reselling on the side as a side hustle. My full-time job was going great. Then the pandemic happened and I was furloughed initially. And then, you know, through sorts of loans and things, I got brought back for a few months. And then at the end of July was the last time I had a full-time job. It has now been several months later, present day in December, and I'm still not working full-time. And it's been a struggle to find a job within my previous industry because if those aren't aware, I was an office and culture manager. And since people aren't in the office, there's really not a need for me. So, you know, I was like, okay, great industry choice. So I was like, okay, let's try to figure some other things out. So when this initially happened to me in, I was furloughed for the entire month of April. I was like, maybe this is like a chance for me to go full time with reselling. Now, Denali, you know, and now you've seen my apartment in Los Angeles was small. And I don't think people realized how small it was. Cause I know you said, oh, I thought this was bigger. Like it looks bigger. And I was like, no, nope. It's tiny. And really the only place I had to store my inventory was my personal closet, which as you saw at the time was, you know, busting at the seams basically. So I had a couple challenges with being able to store inventory and, get, or like store inventory and just also be able to like have the space to do it. Cause as you saw, I didn't have like a lot of space. I said that I played Tetris every day of my life because, you know, I had two places to sit, my bed or my kitchen table and my little kitchenette table. And, you know, I, after that month, realized that was not going to be something I could pursue full time. Maybe, and you know what, looking back, maybe if I had been in a bigger apartment or had figured some, I don't know, some spatial things out differently, or honestly had more capital saved, I might have been able to explore that a little bit longer. But I didn't. And, you know, my circumstances were my circumstances. So that thought of trying to go full time, which as we have spoken before and on our last podcast at the beginning of the year, I have never really wanted to go full time. And I know that you like me to say that to people because it's, I think you like don't need to go full time to do this thing called reselling, which is a huge pro. So, you know, that just affirmed that that was not going to be the path for me. And, you know, so that was interesting. And then like some big picture things that have changed in that time are I recently moved home back to New York. And wow, that took me a lot of time to come to that decision. For anyone that knows me, like I have, since the age of 14, I have been a big city kid. I've never wanted to live at home. I wanted to go out and like see the world and do the things, which I've done. But the pandemic changed everything. It changed some mindset. And, you know, it didn't make sense since I had not been working for so long. And my bills weren't changing. It just made sense to go move home, be closer to family, because I had been very isolated for the entire, virtually the entire year. And I had planned a trip to come home for the holidays, and I was just going to stay for a month. But we didn't book a return trip, like on purpose, just like if the pandemic got really bad, I could stay a little longer, you know, because LA is the worst place to stay right now. It's like number one COVID situation. So there was a whole COVID quarantine period. I had to get tests before I went to New York. And then after I was in New York, like a whole thing. But it was a big change that having booked that trip home, knowing that like, oh, I'll be there for a month. Around Thanksgiving time, we decided as a family that I would move home. And then I did not change my flight date of that original trip because that trip was booked just as a vacation. So, you know, I had to move in a very, very short amount period of time with, you know, virtually no help. And that was weird. I sold my car. I left, like I really left. And that was not something I would have ever, ever, ever forecasted in my life. Moving, yes, but not moving home.
Right. Yeah. So when we last spoke earlier this year, you know, we had, I almost feel like, had we recorded the episode earlier? Because I feel like you had just.
I think we did.
Yeah, because I feel like in our conversation now, because I listened to it yesterday, and you had done a similar thing. You had gone home this time last year for an extended period of time, right?
Yep. Which is normally what I do because I've lived so far away from my family, like, you know, post-college.
Yeah. And I remember that, you know, at that time, kind of building up before you went home, you had talked about how your reselling business had really ramped up around that time, that it was a bit, you know, a busier time of the year for you to be making money like it is for a lot of people. We similarly also talked about, as you mentioned, you know, desire to be a full-time reseller, which you didn't necessarily have that desire this time last year. which again, you mentioned today that you were kind of pushed into it at some point. So kind of going back a little bit, I'm sorry, I'm just recapping that in my head because I want to make sure I talk about things that I wanted to say, but you know, again, reflecting on our conversation, you know, from last time, you had the job as the office and what was it?
Culture manager. Yeah.
Office and culture manager.
I'm a museum.
My favorite title then still is my favorite title. And that was a job that, you know, as your friend, I know that you really loved and enjoyed. So talk to me about, you know, those first couple of months, you know, of, you know, the uncertainty of it, the stress of it, and, you know, of being furloughed and then being brought back on. And then were you going to be furloughed again? And, I guess, you know,
the whole process.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think I've been so stressed in my entire life than I was, at the end of March going into those months that follow, because I left work. I will never forget it. We left work on March 11th. I think it was a Wednesday, thinking, oh, you know, it's going to be a crazy couple of days. We'll see you on Monday. I haven't seen people since that day, like from my work. So that was very weird. And like, as someone who, like, I was kind of like thinking, okay, we'll be back in the office eventually. Like most people did, we're like, this will be a week thing. I also want to caveat that, or preface, my experience in LA is very, very, very different than a lot of places in this country. I feel like the only places that can relate in terms of like the amount of COVID cases and like everything that happening is New York City because of the sheer amount of people. So like, I know people who like never ever experience what I experienced because they live in, you know, more middle of the country, you know, things are spread out. There's not as many people. And that, you know, that comes with big city living. Right. But as I would continue to work remote, it was interesting. I didn't start to think about, oh, is my job going to be like in trouble until like, I think we didn't go back that first full week after we had left. So I was like, okay, but then it didn't happen again. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is like not going to be a good thing. Like, what if we don't go back to the office? And I had been thinking long-term about COVID probably since that second week that I personally worked remote, because the nature of my job is to like handle supplies, handle the mail, make sure stuff is, you know, stocked in the kitchen, printers got ink, like all these things are in person.
Right.
And so I was like, okay. So I got the call from my boss that was going to be a furlough moment. And I was not upset by that. I fully understood the whole time. So that was interesting. But then also at that time with being furloughed and like going on unemployment, there was support, financial support from all the pandemic assistance and all these, you know, stimulus bumps and things. So I financially was like not freaking out. It was still less than my standard pay, but like I could like have a whole separate conversation, Denali, about like not stimulus payments, just unemployment assistance, because I don't want to get too personal, but too personal with numbers, but let's just say, just for even numbers sake, we'll do a quick little breakdown.
Sure.
People don't necessarily love that, like, people on unemployment are getting extra money. They say it's like an incentive not to work. And I can maybe understand why that is the case, but I've been living that experience. So let me just tell you, say we're making $5,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
All us money people out there. I'm making $5,000 pre-tax.
Mm-hmm.
I lose my job and I get furloughed.
Mm-hmm.
The unemployment, let's just say the unemployment max, which people don't realize, the max that you can get per week is $400. So now I go from making pre-tax. So now I went from making $5,000 a month pre-tax to, what is it, $1,600 a month pre-tax.
$400 a week. So, correct. Got it.
Correct. Correct. There is no, you don't get to go on, what is that called? You don't get like food benefits unless you're already kind of like low income. Like there's so many things.
Right.
So the initial $600 that was given to us with that unemployment I want to make sure I'm using the right words, the unemployment assistance was really nice because it brought up, you know, it made it just over half of what I was making originally.
Mm-hmm.
In the example of the $5,000 a month. So, you know,
was it an additional 600 a week or what was it?
Yes. Yes. So instead of the 400 a week, it became 1,000.
Right. So it brought you closer to the livable wage you were used to.
Correct. Because I think people forget, like, if you're living on a $5,000 income per month, like the other things don't change in your life. You still got to pay rent. You still have to pay your car, your insurance, your food, your health insurance. If you have kids, like all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like those, as we have found out, those things are not forgiven. You know, there's no protection. Anything that got kind of put in place was just like a delay. Like, oh, you can't pay your phone bill or, oh, you can't pay this. It's like, okay, well, we'll push it back so you won't get penalized. But there was never a forgiveness, like a pure, you owe $1,400 in rent, like, forget it, you know. I will say that they didn't raise my rent, which was nice.
That is good.
But, you know, the last time there was a bump in unemployment was, I think, into the first or second week of May, and there has been no assistance until, I think it's September, there was a little bump, but that was, I think, exclusive to California because, Denali, there's so much unemployment in California. Oh, my gosh. Okay, but sorry, I'm like steering the conversation in a different direction.
It's okay. There's a lot to say.
But this is what I was thinking about. Like, there's so much to think about. I've never been so financially stressed just purely because there's so many hoops to jump through to be able to get all these things. And then, you know, people were like, well, why don't you get another job? Like, go work at Target, go work at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And now it's like a similar conversation to being on unemployment. It's like, okay, I could absolutely go get a job at Target, McDonald's, Starbucks, right? But now I would be making an hourly wage, and pre-tax, I would probably be making less than when I was on unemployment. And what people don't necessarily realize is that when you get a new job, you obviously get off unemployment.
Right.
But then the next time you go to file unemployment, it is now based on your previous income.
Right.
So say I would have worked at Target for the past 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Say I got let go. Now I would be, my income would be looked at based off my Target. So maybe I wouldn't even get the full benefit that the state allows anymore. So it's like, it's this whole math thing that is just like a terrible place to be in. And I had to go through it twice. Yay.
Right.
Like,
yeah. And
you know,
again,
I mean,
saying that you had to go through it twice. I mean, so you were furloughed for the month of April. You went back in May. Is that correct?
May, June, July. Yep.
May, June, July. You know, but again, when you were brought back in May, I mean, what, at that point, what were you being told about your position?
Right. So that's a good question. I had fully in my mindset thought the furlough is going to be a couple months, mm-hmm. or the furlough will not turn into coming back. It will turn into full job loss, like mm-hmm. fully laying off. And I got a call the first weekend of May, which I think it was May, happened on a Friday. So I got a call on Saturday morning from my boss. And my boss does not call me. She's a very respectful of boundaries. She does not call on the weekends. She does not call mm-hmm. after hours, like, unless it is an emergency. So I was like, what the heck is this? I fully braced myself for the call to be fired officially. Mm-hmm. But it was the exact opposite. It was like, you want to start on Monday? And I was like, oh, what? Like, I had fully just thought I was going to be on unemployment and like have to figure out a job situation. And it was the exact opposite. So it was a mind F, and that was, I think I was like not ready to come back. It took me a while to like mm-hmm. get into the flow again in May. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then time went on, and I'm, you know, very observant and very aware. I feel like you're the same way. So mm-hmm. when I got the call in July about being laid off, I was like very understanding. There was great communication from my boss, and you know, that was it. I still have a great relationship with her. She's, you know, she just was doing, it's not personal. That's what
no. It was the circumstances. Yeah. Nothing. Right. This has nothing to do. It's not a personal thing with your employer. It's just the circumstances. And, you know, again, without like saying too much, but, you know, possibly the industry that somebody's in, you know, some industries were affected more than others, and dependent, especially on parts of the country that you live in, right? You being Los Angeles, areas are affected differently than others.
Yeah.
You know, what about, I'm just curious, you know, you've talked a little bit, you know, about the financial worries that you had, but what about in terms of maybe mental health? You know, how are you feeling during those times?
So I will say June was probably like my darkest month of this year. That was not a good month. I was not feeling like myself. I think I stopped reselling. Mm-hmm. Like, or let me rephrase that. I think I stopped trying. Like, I did nothing for it. Mm-hmm. There were many days where I just like had a very hard time getting up. I had talked about that on my YouTube channel. Like, I'd wake up, and because I didn't need to go anywhere, mm-hmm. I would just stay in my bed. Like, why? Like, you know, a bunch of factors, like my small living space, being alone, and like having nowhere to go was like all coming together in that month. And mm-hmm. that really hit me hard. And I'm, as you know, I thrive off people interaction. So mm-hmm. like the continued lack of people around was, it just kept getting to me. And I don't really know what happened after June, but I like tried to make a conscious decision to at least like sit up in my bed, or like get up, or like stand up and go to the bathroom, as silly as that, as easy as that sounds. Mm-hmm. But like, it was hard to get up. My mental health was not in a good place. I will recognize, and I need to shout out a couple people, that you, Tiffany, Hugo, and Laura, mm-hmm. we had Reseller SNL. And that was something we did at the start of the pandemic, from like March, April, May, I think through May or June. We did it for mm-hmm. a few months.
Yeah.
And it was a way for us to just connect, and we would stream it live on each of our YouTube channels. And just, you know, Saturdays, we knew for 2 to 4 hours, 2 hours online, 2 hours off, that we would catch up and chat. And I think that was really nice for all of us, because mm-hmm. that was at the height of the pandemic, where no one was going out, especially in LA, like things were locked up, couldn't go to the thrift stores or anything. And you know, people were really, I don't want to say respectful, but like people were really abiding by the precautions that people were telling us to take. Like, don't go out.
Right.
Like, I've never seen the roads of LA look so dead. It was great for driving, but like, it was, it was crazy.
But there was nowhere to drive.
Correct. I was like, okay, I'm going to go to get gas, or I'll go to the grocery store in the next, you know, 5 minutes away just because I want to change it up.
Right. And I think that that, you know, I've joked before on the podcast about being an introvert, and, you know, being an introvert is great in a pandemic because it's business as usual. You're an extrovert. And like you said, this, for somebody who is an extrovert and a single person living alone.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely a hard time. I remember you saying a number of times how you just wanted to hug somebody.
Oh my gosh. I think I said that all the entire year. Like, I hadn't been able to hug anybody, like not even my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really hard. And like, I'm a hugger. Like, anytime I see a friend, I hug them. But like, you know, it's
not very COVID friendly.
It's not COVID friendly. It's all sorts of weird. But yeah. I will say, as we said earlier in the beginning of this, you know, I've gotten some extra hugs. I give my mom a hug every night before I go to bed.
Good. I'm glad.
But I don't take it for granted. You know, I'm like, yes, I can, you know, so
yeah,
that's nice.
So, you know, we've kind of touched on it in and out, just about your reselling business since we last spoke. You know, how has it been going, I guess, this year, you know, financially and personally? I'm, you know, again, going back to when we spoke last time, you didn't have an interest in going full time, which is totally fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the great part about reselling, is that it works a lot of different ways for a lot of different people. And it wasn't a desire you had to do, but you were kind of pushed into it. So what's you know, what transpired this past year for the business financially and personally?
So like present day, because, you know, we're doing this at the end of the year.
Yes.
I've had a very different year. Usually the end, like Q4, is really good for me. Mm-hmm. You know, like the last podcast we did said, I had a really fruitful Q4 in 2019, coming off PoshFest, where I was really motivated, and just, I don't know, I was feeling really good. I was putting in full-time hours for my part-time gig, which was great. It was a good benefit. And I had done that so that I could take my end of year break, as Ian mentioned, like I always do, where I unplug for a couple weeks when I go home back to New York.
Mm-hmm.
But this year was a little different because there were different factors to like consider. And I will say the first half of the year was, I would say, standard, like, mm-hmm. you know, average good year. Things obviously changed when COVID hit. I think you included, a bunch of us resellers tried to quote unquote pivot, word of the year, and try new places to source, and tried, you know, wholesale online, or some people tried pallets. and I did some online sourcing. Was it 100% something that worked for me, or like was worth it? No. And I think people eventually like come to realize that, depending on your needs. Like, I think people who can do the pallet thing, that's where the money is to be had, to be quite honest, because you can get so many pieces for so cheap. And the downside to it is it's just a huge upfront cost. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the space for a pallet. That was not something I was able to do. So I just online sourced. I did smaller lots, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I think I realized, although I made money, it wasn't necessarily worth my time.
Mm-hmm.
So not to say I won't do it again, or won't try it in a different capacity, or try something else, or try a different vendor. Mm-hmm. But that was something that didn't end up being fruitful. But then I would say around June is when the thrift stores in LA started to open back up, and, you know, I'd thrift and found some good stuff. For a while, there was, I mean, there still is so much being donated, but there's, mm-hmm. there's new rules and regulations when you're shopping. So it's, you know, you didn't want to be out all day. You want, right. you know, just like quick in and out. I remember being like, I just need to get out. Like, let me just go for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice. And then I would say my reselling really pumped the brakes the second time I got the only time I technically got laid off, that second round at the end of July. You know, there's some circumstances that, you know, don't really allow you to do these other side things mm-hmm. Legally. And, you know, I just wanted to be respectful of that. And I was like, you know what, if I'm not like feeling it, and it's like, okay to take a step back, you know, for the mental health, like if I don't want to push to do something I don't really want to be doing right now, I can do it. And I have that ability because it was just something that I did on the side. It isn't my full-time income. So, you know, I can't speak from that experience,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, the end of the year since August 1st, I have really not done any reselling, like, no, ma'am, especially the past 3 months.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's just circumstances, and it's okay. It's okay. I'm not like,
yeah.
oh my God, I've been trying to resell and it's just not happening. Mm-hmm. No. Like, I'm choosing not to do that.
Right.
And segue into now living where I live. I live in upstate New York. I went from literally being able to access everything in every brand
mm-hmm.
in every category to I won't say nothing, but it is like I went from like 100% to like 2%.
Right.
Like, it is, if you were like, Blake, go out and get some Lululemon or some Madewell or, you know, YSL,
yeah,
I'll be like, okay, let me run to New York City quick 4-hour drive.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Well,
it is very different.
Yeah. And we said before we started recording, and you were mentioning that the sourcing is much different where you're at. I told you, welcome to the real world.
Yeah. Like, so now, okay. So yes, it's a very interesting perspective to have, because now I'm not in the glitz and the glam of it all. Now I'm better understanding, like, when people would comment on a YouTube video of a haul being like, oh gosh, I wish I could find that. Or mm-hmm. I remember people saying like anytime I had like Free People or Madewell or mm-hmm. J. Crew, they'd be like, oh my gosh, that's like elevated for me. Mm-hmm. Now I understand that. I understand
right.
that. And I never said it because it, like, to be mean or rude. It's just, that was, I found higher price point items regularly.
Right.
So
because, right,
now
that
I
was
understand.
Your bread and butter.
Correct. So now, you know, I went from having thrift stores all around my city to within like a 15, 20 minute drive now,
mm-hmm.
there is one. And there is a Goodwill where I am, except it's been temporarily closed, I think, due to COVID. And I don't know when it's going to open again, because mm-hmm. I went the other day and it was closed. And I was like, excuse me, I'm here. Open up. I'll buy your store. I might have to pull a Savannah and Street Savvy and have to drive a certain amount of way to get
to
things.
Source,
I think
yeah.
there is a, I
a
think
lot
there
of people
is
have
a,
to
yeah, I think there is a Bins. I'm not going to any Bins anytime soon, but there is a Bins like, I think 150 miles away. So,
oh, okay. Just a short trip.
You know, like, just a short trip, but I also don't have a car. So, like,
good luck. Have fun in the Uber.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of, you know, my next question for you, and maybe, I don't know if it totally has to do with my last one. I was thinking about that, but, you know, how did reselling maybe help you this past year, and how did it hurt you? I don't know. Maybe it didn't hurt you, but I say help you and hurt you, meaning emotionally, financially, all of the above.
I think it helped because it gave me something to do because I was losing my mind. To go back to the mental health aspect, I think I started to open up about that and be transparent about that as time went on. But I think I was just I was figuring out where my mind was at. Like, it was not a fun couple of months, the first half of the year. And so reselling was something to do. I would say the reselling community is where I, what am I trying to say? It's where I leaned. Helped.
Yeah.
Like, I had not utilized the community aspect as much previously. Mm-hmm. But it was really nice to build some new relationships and, you know, or just continue them and flourish them and just talk to new people. And I think it's so interesting to find out, like, there's so many people who resell for so many different reasons. Mm-hmm. That it's always just kind of interesting, like, oh, you know, you aren't full-time, like, oh, tell me more. Or you are full-time, you know, what did you do before? Do you want to keep doing it? Where, you know, do you see yourself doing it in 5 years? And everyone's answers are always different. So I liked that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it really hurt me. I think if anything, the only, I would say, negative aspect is there was, I blame this on 2020. It's not even like a bad thing, really. Like, there was a big push for the secondhand market because people couldn't go shopping, in stores for a good chunk of time. But I think that also was like a downside to be like, okay, well, don't take a break now because you gotta get that stuff. People are buying right now. Especially when when people got the stimulus check. Like, I remember, like, that was like a good amount of time for people to make some sales. And there was like an uptick in the economy, quote unquote. So, you know, that was good. But I also think in general, reselling can have this addictive quality because it doesn't stop. You can do it 24/7, you know? So I think
I thought possibly your answer about the negative impact of it was, but I guess this is kind of just a overall theme that you've talked about in the past, is just infringing on your space.
Yep.
Especially given your lack of motivation to resell as the year drew on.
Yeah. The lack of space I had to live in this past year, from everything, really was a detriment. I think that honestly hurt my mental health as well. Like, I was thinking so much, thinking in circles. I didn't have anywhere to go. Like, it was just 250-ish, maybe a little less, square feet of space that I was just bed, bathroom, kitchen table, bed, bathroom, kitchen table. Let me stare out my kitchen window. Let me just go down and take the trash out just to do it.
I have to imagine that when you moved into that place initially, I mean, obviously it probably, you know, fit your budget and everything, but as a social person, you probably didn't imagine you'd be spending most of your life in the small box, right? That you know, you're a social butterfly, that you'd be going out, and yet this year really forced you to stay in, and that space probably became smaller.
Yes. And actually, speaking of space, Denali, I don't know if you remember this. I'm sure you do. there was a moment in time that I was thinking about moving within my complex to a bigger apartment. Do you remember this?
So, I do remember it.
So there was a one-bedroom apartment that became available in my small community. There was like 20 apartments, which I still really miss that building and community of people. There was someone moved out because the pandemic had hit them. And I was like, well, let me scoop in, see if the apartment is something within my price range. It was not within my price range. It was an uncomfortable amount of money. And I know I had shared this with you, and you were like, I think you could do it. And I think about it, and I'm like, I genuinely don't know if I could have, like, mm-hmm. long-term, because the thing about it was, if I would have gotten that apartment, which would have been an easy $400 to $500 more than I was paying a month, mm-hmm. I would have absolutely had to have resold. And mm-hmm. although I was, like, doing well, I was like, I don't know, like, what if the pandemic happens and we have another second wave that's, like, absolutely terrible? Like, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And I don't think I would, like, looking back, I don't think it would have changed anything. I think I would have still passed on it. But the, like, having more space is something that my next apartment will absolutely have. And, you know, if I go back to LA or not, that's, like, a whole separate conversation. But I think what I realized, and we've talked about this, I mm-hmm. need more space. Yes. I remember a conversation you and I had, and there was a bunch of issues, you know, from my job and all these things. And you were like, I think, like, I don't know if you said this to me. I was like, you realize there's a common thread here. And I was like, really? And you were like, oh, it's your space. Like, you need mm-hmm. more.
I think, yeah, I like, that conversation, you were not feeling great. And you were saying yep. a million different ways that you weren't happy at that moment. And they all came back to your space. but you weren't realizing it in that moment. I laugh just, you know, because looking back on it now, right? But you have a very small apartment that is, I don't care who anybody is, but, you know, after a long period of time and being the only person who lives in that space, it gets smaller, I can imagine. Yep. Right. And you literally have no outlet to leave other than maybe take a walk around the block, right. Or go to Ralph's. Other than that, your activities are limited. And I can imagine that would be very difficult during this year, especially operating a business out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was challenging, but you know what? It's not my home anymore. Like, I'm home.
It's not your life anymore. So kind of on that note, you know, right? You left LA. You know, where do you see the future of reselling going for you? I mean, it sounds like there's still, right, the desire didn't change. You don't have a desire to go full time. So, yeah, I guess, you know, what does reselling mean for you right now?
I think right now it means, like, doing it while I enjoy it. So maybe not, you know, side hustle full force. Mm-hmm. But more than a hobby, because I know what I'm doing, but, you know, casually doing it, you know, maybe I'm not doing 10 to 20 items a week. Maybe I'm just doing 5, but, like, it's something to keep me going. I will say I do have to learn. I have to learn again, which in reselling you're constantly doing, but I have to genuinely just see what is available to me mm-hmm. in the area. I had mentioned the outlet might be 150 miles away, but, like, if I can use my mom's car or something, like, mm-hmm. is it going to be worth it? Those are things I'm going to factor in. But I'm genuinely curious to see what I can find. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be more of an exploratory side hustle, because if, like, I'm going in genuinely expecting nothing. Like, not to say that my city doesn't have things, just right. I want to go in with no expectation and be surprised, because it's not going to be LA. I'm not going to find these high designer names. I will say though, I did take a quick visit just to scope some things out, and I did find that plus size is bigger, no pun intended, in the city. Like, there's a lot more inventory of that. And being a plus size guy myself, like, it's also in men's. So I'm like, okay, like we're going to explore that because plus size as well. I have to hope that there's some cute finds and it's not too worn. But I think I might have to shift what I had been traditionally buying. I can tell you there's not going to be a lot of double zeros or extra, extra smalls that I find here. But that's a
good,
okay.
That's I'm a like, good that's thing. A like, great thing. Those don't sell as well.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to become, I'm actually already excited to like see what this, I feel like I'm in a different world, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see if I can do it here.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I know I can do it, but.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like maybe what you've gained again is there's less pressure, right?
Yep.
At this moment, to be reselling, which can make it more fun again. And you've gained the thrill of the hunt again, because you're now in a new area with different things that are available to you.
Exactly. And like, I can't wait to have like a gold, like a golden find and post about it on Instagram.
your big find. You find some anthropology.
Oh my God.
On the middle of nowhere. So, okay. So right now reselling is in a discovery phase for you. It sounds like again, you know, what do you see for yourself for this upcoming year? I mean, you know, again, it's really hard to look into our crystal balls, but, you're back in New York. I mean, is this your new home? You know, if you had to lay out a roadmap for this year, where do you see it going?
Yeah, so I think if anything, 2020 has taught me to live a lot more in the moment and being a planner. Like, I am type A, I am a planner. Like, if you want to hang out and it's not on the calendar, like, I don't want to be surprised. Like, you know, I'm like that kind of person. So I think I don't want to look too far. Like, I honestly can't think beyond like the end of winter. You know, January, February, March, because there's a lot that could change in the next couple months, as we know.
Right.
And I think I will still be here unless like some sort of crazy opportunity happens and I can relocate, which I'm not forecasting immediately. But I do think by the summer, you know, pandemic and regulations and things aside, I think there might be a potential that I'm in a new place. Something with a warm climate. I'm done with this BS 19 degree weather. No, thank you. Return it. Return to sender. and I've grown up with it all my life. So it's like, I much prefer warm weather and palm trees.
Right.
But you know, who's to say that it'll be LA? Who's to say it wouldn't be Atlanta? It won't be Florida. Mm-hmm. It's too humid. You know, I do have a goal to be on HSN or QVC as a host, and I don't think that will shock anyone. but I am now much closer to HSN in Pennsylvania. So, you know, who's to say I couldn't go get a job working over there? Or I do have some fun career things, like small business minded, but, you know, I don't want to say too much because I don't know if it'll become anything, but I do have little projects that I would, if they turned into my full-time job, that would be great working for myself. I think I would like to try to work for myself in some capacity, unless it's for like QVC, HSN. And I think this is now that I literally live at home as a 31-year-old, I think now is the time to like try to make that happen for myself when, you know, expenses are low and I can take those risks. And worst case scenario, I have a excellent resume that I could go work anywhere else to make a couple bucks. But, you know, being home has also shifted me to be in a better mental space and, you know, be motivated again with life in general. So, you know, I think 2021 is going to be good for me.
Personally. Yeah, I can't wait to see you on QVC.
It's going to be good for me.
Yeah,
I know. I'm so excited to sell you this tablet with Android and a 2-year warranty. And it comes in a wide variety of colors, including special limited edition rose gold with a 250 gigabyte capacity.
And for four easy payments of $59.99. Oh my god.
No, we're gonna give you five flex pay, okay? And free shipping and handling. You gotta have this deal.
Oh my gosh, yes. Okay. I see it. It's gonna happen for you.
That's gonna be me.
Yeah, it really is gonna be you. Okay, so
I know firsthand how exhausting it can be to manage all the tasks in my reselling business, like listing, bookkeeping, and more, but I found a solution that has given me back my time and allowed me to grow my business, hiring a virtual assistant. And now I want to share that solution with you. That's why I've created an online course called Hiring a Virtual Assistant for Your Reselling Business. With this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find, train, and manage a virtual assistant like a pro. And because I want to make this course accessible to everyone, I'm offering a special coupon code, FLIPTHESCRIPT, that gives you $10 off at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your reselling business to the next level. Sign up now at hiringava.com and let's enjoy the freedom and fun of growing our businesses together. Again, you can sign up at hiringava.com.
My last question for you is, if you could have magically gone back in time to when we last spoke, earlier this year, what would you have told yourself? Is there a piece of advice you would have given yourself for surviving 2020 that you can think of?
I think the one piece of advice would be, and I think this could apply to a lot of people, don't be, and this is a constant theme in my entire life, okay? Don't be so hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. That's like the one thing that I could always say to myself, like, don't be so hard on yourself. Don't expect so much. And just be kinder to yourself. Like, there's no reason to like beat yourself up over nothing. Like, ultimately, are you happy? Are you healthy? Mm-hmm. No, then let's fix that. Let's work on that.
Is there something that you in this past year that you feel like you could have, like an example, like that you were beating yourself up over something or that you were stressing over? I mean, there's a lot of things, let's be honest, but is there something that is there something that sticks out in your mind that you could have just been like, hey, it's okay?
Yeah. I think I really did try, yes, and it's about reselling. I think I really did not want to fail with the reselling, especially when I was trying to go full time, because it was like, I'm good at this, but am I letting my circumstances inhibit me from this? Mm-hmm. But also, is it what I want to be doing to rely on an income? And ultimately the answer is no. So I was like, maybe like allowing myself to like be comfortable with that decision for myself so that I wouldn't look back and be like, maybe I should have done that. And it's like, no. Ultimately it's not what I would have wanted and it's what I don't want. So like, it's okay. We're going to move on and not dwell and wallow. I think that's the thing in that weird stewing period of thoughts, because again, as I said earlier, there was just a whole lot of thinking, talking to yourself in circles when you're alone. So, that's that.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of cut you off there. I didn't know if you wanted to say anything else about, reflecting on this past year.
No. I think overall, just overall, 2020 has been a weird year. Mm-hmm. I think there's been some good moments, there's been some bad moments, a lot more bad moments, but I think it's what you choose to do with them or how you like wake up and live every day. A lot of crappy things have happened, but I still remain optimistic. And I think that's something that is important. And that month of June that I had mentioned earlier being very bad mental health wise. Mm-hmm. I think you just have to remember, it doesn't have to be big, but like, what is something small that will help you today and only today to be able to like function and get through
sorry, my audio. What is something to get you through from day to day that will, you know, just make it easier? And for me, that was just like, I just need to sit up and get up out of my bed.
Yeah.
And then it turned into do that and then go for a walk for 5 minutes. And right. then that turned into, okay, you don't want to go outside for a walk because you're feeling down. Okay, well, let's throw up a walking video on YouTube and walk in place and do some exercises, you know, in your little living room on your little carpet. So mm-hmm. it's just do the little things to help you day to day. Don't try to plan and like live so into the future, because so much can change. Like, oh my God.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's a great piece of advice. I mean, just as like an overarching theme, you know, you saying just sit up in bed, right? Like, I feel like that's right. like a,
which is just honestly a metaphor hard for life.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like that's just like, you know, a life motto, right? Just the first thing is you got to just sit up in bed and then take the next steps from there. And maybe it's walking in place in your living room to a YouTube video. I like that.
Yeah. Like it does. Like I know I'm speaking to a Peloton owner, but I like, you don't have to have the Peloton. Like,
no, you don't.
By all means, if you want the Peloton, get that Peloton. But like, if it's just walking in place or doing some yoga, which is something I also picked up, like just do something that gets you going in the day. And it's also okay to ask people for help, or like, hey, mm-hmm. I'm feeling down. Can we talk today? Like, don't be afraid to talk about that, because there was a period of time, I think this is why I got down in June. I didn't really have people that related. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know anyone that got furloughed. I didn't know anyone that was on the verge of losing their job. Like, mm-hmm. I really couldn't relate. But I also didn't put it out there or mm-hmm. like ask people about it. So, you know, it's okay. Like, there's a lot of people going through what you're going through. You're mm-hmm. not the only one, especially if you live in California. It's okay to reach out for help. And I will say this, if it's like a real, like if it's like something serious and you're like questioning certain things and, you know, certain things about life, like absolutely seek out some therapy. And mm-hmm. there's like apps to be able to do it from your phone. I know that's not ideal, especially myself. Like, I love therapy, but I don't like it online. Mm-hmm. At least know that there's options, including payment assistance, for you to be able to get some therapy if that's what you need. And do not ever be ashamed of therapy, because I think after this year and potentially next, we're all going to need some therapy for life. So,
amen.
You know, just don't be afraid of that. Like, it's a good thing. It's just, you know, you gotta just be vocal about it.
Yep. And take care of numero uno.
Yep. Take care of yourself. Yep. If you can't take care of yourself, who you can take care of?
Right. My favorite, what is it? Metaphor? I don't know if I'm using that mm-hmm. term correctly, is you got to put on your mask, your airline mask, before you begin to help others.
Yep.
100%. Yep. Got to take care of yourself first. Well, thank you so much, Blake, for being on with me today. This has been such a great conversation, and I really appreciate you being, again, you weren't the first time that we spoke, but again, so open and honest about your experience. I mean, this past year, but just life in general. And it's, you know, you talked about things that are not easy to talk about, or, you know, yeah. or open up about, or be vulnerable about. And I think that hopefully this conversation helps, you know, other people who are feeling how you have felt this past year.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to have been a guest again, and, you know, to share, you know, the things that I've been going through. And if anything, I hope, like, to your point, that someone can relate, or, you know, pick something out of the conversation that they're like, you know what, he got through it, or here's this little tip, you know, and mm-hmm. it helps them.
Yeah, I know.
We're all going through it.
We are all going through it. Yes. Well, thank you again, Blake, for giving me your time. And I will talk with you soon, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me, Denali. Talk soon.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. Thanks for tuning into the Flip the Script podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to express my gratitude for your continued support. As a listener, you play a crucial role in the success of this podcast. And there's so many ways you can help out, and I'd love to share a few with you.
For starters, you can support the podcast with a monthly donation as low as 99 cents at flipthescriptpodcast.com. Every little bit counts. And if you want to show your love even more, don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. I read every review and really appreciate those who've left reviews already. And last but not least, be sure to check out the affiliate links in the show notes. There is a small kickback that is received from any purchases that you might make. And of course, follow flipthescript.pod on Instagram. It's also a great way to stay up to date on the latest episodes and behind the scenes content. Thank you again for being a part of the Flip the Script community. I couldn't do it without you. Thank you again to Blake for being on this week's episode of the podcast. Blake, I so appreciate you coming on again and being so candid and open with your struggles that you've had this past year, whether they be financially, mentally, emotionally, so many different emotions that so many of us have experienced. It's not easy to talk about these things, and I understand that you're putting yourself out there by doing so. And I really hope that this episode is helpful to others who maybe feel like they're in a place that you've been in this past year. Again, you can find Blake on Instagram and YouTube under the username PoshBossBlake. All of that information will be in the show notes for you. We are now in the last week of December. I know I recap what week it is every week that I do an episode, but I can't believe it. 2020 is almost over, you guys. We're in the home stretch. It has been such a challenging year for all of us. I hope that you are ending this year healthy, most importantly, happy, doing well, or even surviving financially. I'm so hopeful for this next year that things will improve and life will maybe go back to some sort of new normal, and that all of our businesses flourish in one way or another. But in the meantime, keep on listing and keep on selling. Happy New Year.